Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning or good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Blogger News on the Radio. My name is Simon Barrett, and I will be your host today. This is another in our ongoing series, Surviving the 21st Century, a look at health and nutrition in our modern world, and it's a pretty depressing picture. As always, I'm joined by my good friends, the writing and research team of Manny Barling and Ashley Brooks. Good morning to both of you.
Well, good morning. Just call us the food police today.
Good morning.
I have a little story for you. My wife, Jan, stumbled on some photographs of your garden and pool area earlier this week. And I just want to give you a heads up that she's threatening to move in.
That's fine.
Well, we got 330 pounds of tomatoes last year. Jan could live on tomatoes with us.
Actually, tomatoes is a great lead-in. I have this delightful story to tell you. It's a Garrison Keillor Lake Wobegon moment.
Ooh.
Yep, I have absolutely no luck with gardening. Last year, the ants surgically destroyed my tomato plants. The year before, the lawn maintenance men decided that my herb garden needed to trim with a weed whacker. And this year, some kids thought that my little melon plants would make for a great corsage. So,
oh, my gosh. Don't forget about your carrots.
Well,
I'll never forget those.
Right, so I was sat outside a couple of days ago, you know, pounding away on my glorified typewriter. Yeah, I'm kind of old school.
Very old school.
Well, it is a glorified typewriter, but you know, it doesn't do anything other than, process words. And my neighbor, who does indeed have a very green thumb, came over and told me that I was welcome to help myself to all of the tomatoes, cucumbers, and courgettes I wanted. She loves to grow them, but unfortunately, her family just don't eat veggies.
Oh, you know, I think if they tried the veggies, though, the difference in the organic out of our garden, I pick them and bring them in immediately and fix them. I'll eat the raw beans. I'll come in, rinse them off, and eat the raw beans. They're so good.
Yeah, in fact, I went and grabbed a couple of tomatoes, and I loved them.
Oh, you know, they're so good, Simon.
I can't eat them. It's my choice would be to eat, but I can't eat them for a variety of health reasons. But I tell you, they smell. They're just the smell of them is so outrageous. Everything about them is outrageous, including the fact that we spend about $125 a year on our garden, and I figure 330 pounds of organic tomatoes would probably be a couple thousand dollars in some of the markets in our local areas. And as Ash is going to point out later, don't worry, they will charge you that much and more because everybody now is just really overcharging for this kind of food. But which reminds me, do you know why I get so much tomatoes? Because I have a really good form of organic pest control. I made the mistake of telling Ashley this story. You know how when you get married, there's some stories you don't rush into telling. Well, this was one of those. And In a moment of absolute stupidity, I slipped and told my wife the story. There's probably 100 guys out there going, I've done that too.
And he keeps trying to forget it. And he keeps going, oh, honey, tell that story.
This is the story. It was about a decade before I met Asher. I was single and living with my best friend, who's the designer of everything you've seen on Star Trek on television, won multiple Emmys for everything from Dynasty down the line. And we're living in this house up on a hilltop. So, you know, Sunday comes, you know, you open the doors of the patio, the beautiful Southern California weather, and you kick back. Well, life was great until one day we had a mouse get in the house. And we go, oh, my goodness. It is a pain in the butt. So we started to chase this mouse. Well, here are a couple of grown men, both very athletic. My friend was a well-known local high school football player, fast as you can imagine. You wouldn't want to chase him around the tennis court. But he could not catch this little mouse. And he got so good, we named him Jerry after Tom and Jerry. Well, this went on, you know, for maybe 3 or 4 weeks. So here we are on a Sunday afternoon, two grown men. So what do you think we're doing? We got brooms, and he's on one side of our tent, and I'm on the other, and we're chasing this doggone mouse around. Well, anyone who's ever chased a mouse will tell you those things are just so fast. There's no way you can catch them. So we gave up in frustration. We tried leaving the door. We tried everything to get rid of this pest. Well, my friend one day who was in his smoking phase left a pack of cigarettes out, and we come out the next day, and half the pack of cigarettes is eaten. And we find old Jerry crawled up by the fireplace and died. I mean, he looked like he rolled over in his back, pulled his paws up, and looked like a classic thing out of a cartoon. He went, oh, my goodness. So every time we had a mouse problem, we left a pack of cigarettes out, and we got rid of the mouse every single time. And so that's how we did our pest control up in the hills in beautiful Southern California.
And now what we do is when we went 100% organic, like you, Simon, I love the jars of ready-made gravy. Wow, how easy is that? That's stupid me. I looked through the ingredients, and there's no way either one of us will ever touch it. So we thought, geez, what are we going to do with it? And Manny suggested, why don't we use it for pest control? So we're using the gravy, and it's killing the rats.
Yeah, we take you know, that decon rat poison.
Just a touch.
Just
doesn't
a touch.
Take much. It
just
takes a lot of gravy, and the gravy knocks them that they're dead the next morning.
Oh, they come running. And by the way, where we live, we get rats. I mean, some of them are, you know, they're like 8 inches long, look like they weigh a couple of pounds, and they go out in the garden, and they basically eat this stuff and die.
Is that ecologically correct? Are we allowed to talk about this environmentally? Because all I know is that, you know, between this and then I'll go to the 99-cent store and I'll buy their 99-cent cat food, and I'll use the cat food. So between the cat food and the gravy, that takes care of our pests for the entire season of our vegetable garden.
And, you know, Simon, there's never a time when I use that where I don't say to myself, what the heck is this doing to pets if it does this to, you know, to mice? I mean, just kills me dead, you know? So what chance does your pet have, right?
I know, Simon. It's amazing, right?
Yeah, it just I do
love the concept, you know? Take some canned gravy, a little bit of rat be gone, and woohoo, you're off to the races.
Well, and you know, the rat decon's kind of expensive, so you don't need much. So I'm not really quite sure. I think I should just start leaving the gravy out and see what happens to them, how long it takes for them to keel over from all the toxic chemicals. Because we save a lot with we don't use much because I use a lot of gravy and just a touch of the decon. So I probably ought to try that, Manny. That would be a good experiment.
Well, do you think we've been killing the gravy? Would it kill them, or we could save them the cost of decon?
Do you know, there was a lady who did aspartame. She did a whole book on it, which I think is really interesting. This woman took, I don't know if we talked about this, Simon, or both, but the woman had taken rats, and she decided that her family was drinking too much soda. So she took the aspartame, and she decided, well, I'm going to do my own self-study. And she did it for approximately 13 months, And during that time period, the males, both the male and female, with using aspartame, so she would use, you know, your NutraSweet, they all developed cancer.
Wow.
So, for 30 months she gave it, and then she wrote a whole book on it. So NutraSweet daily for 30 months, and they all developed cancer, and they all had massive tumors. So, I mean, there's really, I guess we could all do our own self-scientific data experiments with this material, because that would be definitely independent. They can't say much about that. She took daily pictures.
Well, it also can't be any worse than what the industry does, because most of their studies are just lies anyway.
Well, but hers wasn't. I mean,
yeah,
30 months of every day of aspartame.
Yeah, so now I'm going to tell the one story before we move on, you know, because, you can't tell your wife every story, but I'm going to have some fun today. So here I am stuck in this single man's life, and, you know, we're chasing Jerry for that period of time, and it's, you know, about 3 o'clock in the morning, I wake up, I'm really dying of thirst. So I sneak out to the kitchen, and I go to open the refrigerator to get something to drink, and, you know, I open the refrigerator, the light comes on. When the light comes on, I felt eyes looking at me, and I kind of glanced up, and about, you know, foot away from your head, and on top of the refrigerator looking down at me was old Jerry the Mouse. He looked at me, I looked at him, we both went, ah! I screamed, I presume he screamed in mouse, took off running, and I'm standing there, and now my roommate comes running out, and little did I know he had a girlfriend over, and I'm standing there stark naked in the kitchen screaming about a mouse, quickly closed the door in the dark and ran behind the stove.
I have to tell you, it's pretty funny. Knowing that Manny is 6'1", so this big, tall guy looks at a mouse and starts screaming and hiding behind the refrigerator. That's pretty funny.
Right. Just sitting in those days, I would still look more like Schwarzenegger than I do now at that age. And I was a pretty serious weightlifter and exercise freak for years. And that mouse scared the hell out of me at 3 a.m.
I want to go back to the you know, killing rats with gravy thing.
Killing it softly with it.
I'm just a little concerned. You know, you might not kill them. In fact, you might have created mutated rats now.
Oh, you're right. So I better not experiment with that one.
Well, I haven't seen any in the evening news, so we're probably okay for now.
Especially since the gravy's made from factory farm, GMO, treated whatever, with a lot of corn syrup, GMO corn syrup. So you're right. I could send off to the wild a lot of mutated mice and rats.
Well, maybe that's why their guts were laid out all over the...
Oh, Manny, please.
Stop it. Well, actually, as we all know, you know, rat poison's a pretty ugly way for any rat to die, except you dirty rat. That kind can go. But yeah, it is amazing all the different things that will kill pests in your garden besides spending money on these horrible different types of chemicals that get on your hands, turn them colors. And, you know, the warning to me is we have Latino gardeners, as most people do in Southern California, and born in the United States, et cetera, but... You know, they will not touch Roundup or any of those chemicals. They look at me like, I won't touch that. And when we wanted to de-weed an upper portion of our yard, I couldn't get any of them to volunteer. They're just like, oh, no, I don't touch that stuff. And
well, tell them what happened in their country.
Well, you know, basically the United States government hired Monsanto and DuPont to produce primarily Monsanto, and used... Roundup in Colombia to try and wipe out the coca leaves, and instead of wiping out the coca leaves, they wiped out all the products that they were farming for local food and left all the locals destitute without food, and then they all started getting cancer. And big surprise. So they're not too pleased with the U.S. government there, and when they tried to sue them, they invoked the national security. And I have a quote somewhere in one of the books from a member of the CIA who, when questioned about it, said, "Don't mention Monsanto to me. You can't mention Monsanto." We're all like, what? I mean, so...
No, they threatened them.
Yeah, they did.
It was, I mean, you're saying it laughingly, but it really was a very serious threat.
Oh, yeah. Well, Monsanto doesn't threaten for nothing. I mean, they basically are so deep into the CIA, they just are protected.
And then Brazil has 40,000, an increase of 40,000 terminals, cancer, stomach cancer in Brazil, and they are number two with the pesticides. The U.S. is first, and then Brazil is second right now with the amount of, huge amount of pesticides used.
Well, you know, that's kind of boring. Let's get back to the food show, because I know listeners are dying to hear about Pooh Burgers.
Oh, that's exactly right. Have you heard about that, Simon?
No, but I'll guarantee I'm about to.
Whether you want to or not.
This one really grossed me out. It came out on the 17th. The Japanese scientists create a meat from poop. And they, because they claim the potential for the global food crisis, we now need to eat poop meat. And that one of the big things in the Japan right now is that they have a high level of poop and mud mixed together because of the cattle problems, and basically the same problem we have here with the excrement and the huge amount of excrement. So they're all trying to figure out, what are we going to do with all this excrement? And they said, despite the downside of having to add soy to bind it all together, so now they're going to be a soy poop burger, there's no reason why we shouldn't all tuck into this turd burger. And they, so they're taking sewage mud and they're making it into burgers. And then they actually did a breakdown on it. Where is it? Oh, here, okay. This one really got me, too. It's 63% protein, 25% carbohydrate, 3% lipids, and 9% minerals. So they're saying this is really good. It's colored red, so you don't know it's poo. So they use a dye. And the initial tests people have said that they taste just like beef, so that people are actually in Japan eating poo burgers.
Wow, does that mean when the average American is looking down at his toilet when he goes to flush, he sees a multivitamin?
I don't know. Oh, the cost. That's pretty funny.
Actually, you know...
So the cost. Sorry.
Manny, we might have a business opportunity here. We could start a chain... In and shit burger.
You know, Simon, I have to send it to you because they also have a video, and I know how you love to show videos. So the making of a poo burger and people actually going to a fine, looks like a fine restaurant to go eat their poo burgers. And right now that's a little expensive. It's 10 to 20 times the price of a carving it off the cow, but, you know, I guess they'll eventually get it down since there's an adequate amount of poo mud out there.
Well, you know, pretty soon you can go to McDonald's and order a poo burger.
You already are.
I'll have a happy poo, please. Well, that meant no constipation in the old days. Now it has a whole new meaning.
Yeah, and can you supersize it?
I know. Jeez. I mean, you know, Simon, every time I think I have seen the most ridiculous thing, somebody comes up with something new. I wonder how much money they have spent and how quickly the USDA is going to jump on this to say, wow, now we know what to do with all these CAFOs and all this massive lagoons of poo.
Oh, I can see the CAFO people. Annette Sweeney is now saying, I was going, I told you so.
It's healthy for you. Let me grab some of that protein off that whatever.
My cows have great protein.
Oh, is that ridiculous?
Do I spot shades of Soylent Green here?
Oh, absolutely.
Only it's spelled S-O-I-L-E-N-T as opposed to S-O-I.
Yeah, right. Soiled Green.
Yeah, you know.
But the fact that they've actually done a nutritional breakdown on it, and I wonder if when they're doing the nutritional breakdown, they're including the soy that they've put into it.
I just wonder, how many times has an American looked at a meal and gone, this tastes like shit?
Oh,
well, now they have good reason to say it.
Oh, this is good shit.
So I'm paying 10 to 20 times the amount to eat this stuff, too.
Simon, you usually don't say that about food. I mean, it's just remarkable the length they go. So what other delightful piece of poo news do you owe? No, not poo, regular news.
Okay, regular news, we have a veggie burger recall which just happened on the 18th. And I think that's important for people to know, for all the people out there who are eating veggie burgers. North Carolina company is recalling frozen bean burgers sold in Ohio because they may be contaminated with salmonella. And it's called Earth Fair of Fletcher, North Carolina. It's a spicy bean burger. So I think people should be aware of that. And it was tucked away, hard to find. So I think that's, you know, shouldn't be missed. Also, I'm sorry.
Simon, can you believe it? We're going to have to give up our spicy bean burgers.
Oh, I love those.
Oh,
I don't know
no
how
way.
I can survive without it.
No way.
I live in anticipation of a spicy, what is it, bean burger? Oh, God. Just imagine, you know, having a poo burger, say, a menu going, well, would you like our special? We have a poo burger or a spicy bean burger.
Well, no, right now it would be, do you want a poo E. coli burger or a salmonella veggie burger? I mean, you get to order the food-borne illness du jour along with your food. I think that's going to be part of the menu.
Oh, God.
And salmonella is very serious because it's sometimes fatal infection in young children and very frail and elderly, as we talked about, are people with a weakened immune system. It could be a serious health issue. So, you know.
Well, let's talk about that, Ashley. You know, we one of the things we repeatedly comment is that no one hears about these you know, problems with salmonella, E. coli, and other foodborne illnesses. But Ashley was reading the paper and pointed out to me that they had published this material about a recall, I think it was in Europe. So if you want to find out recalls in Europe, they're willing to tell you that, but they're not willing to tell you that in the United States.
It was very upsetting. It was in yesterday's LA Times on page 10. It was French children are ill with E. coli from hamburgers. So here we are with a salmonella possibility in the East Coast, and nobody's saying anything, along with some other things that I'd like to talk about. But, you know, they talk about these French children who they're allowing us to know that about the beef and all this recall. And, you know, the other day I was at the store, and there was a manager of a store who proceeds to tell me that the 6-month-old granddaughter has had salmonella for 30 days with a bloody diarrhea. Nothing anybody can do for the baby. 30 days, bloody diarrhea. And obviously, this is a very serious thing, and the child should obviously have been in a hospital or under closer observation, and nothing was done. And no, he had no idea. The family, you know, was doing a lot of things like they didn't know anything about the 56,000 pounds of turkey burger that had been, Jennie-O, that had been recalled. The family was eating it. There was a lot of things going on that, because it's not published in our papers, if you don't look for it and you're not looking for it, you're not going to know about it. So he couldn't understand where it was coming from. And they eat a lot of vegetarian stuff. Could be from these veggie burgers, and has no way of knowing.
Yeah, it's still our position that one of the prime reasons you don't hear is because they delay it until all the food is sold and eaten to basically protect the manufacturers. So the manufacturers sort of lobby this delay in so they don't have to worry about pulling products out. And like everything else with our government, they don't do a thing until someone dies, and then, of course, they scream and yell and do all the rest and start passing laws, which they never enforce anyway. So
no, it's essentially, we want to tell you that those eggs that you bought 2 months ago probably aren't very good.
So if you haven't thrown them up yet, it's not too late.
I mean, it's just, it's very serious. I mean, and salmonella, just so I know I've said this for some of the symptoms, I think just in case somebody has this problem, they could have fever, diarrhea, could be bloody. In this case for the baby, it was bloody, nausea, vomiting, and abdominal pain. And, of course, in the rare cases, the salmonella can go into the bloodstream and produce very severe illnesses, including arterial infections, so heart disease, arthritis. So it's not something to be sloughed off, and looking at the recalls daily is a very important thing to do, and the foodsafeties.com is probably the best source right now, because finding it, don't use it as your only source. Again, this salmonella was slipped away someplace else and tucked under, so it's carefully looking to protect you and your family.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to ask a question.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those boring, simple questions. How come foodsafety.com, and the important thing here is the .com, is a better source for information than FDA.gov? I mean, gov? Isn't it the responsibility of the FDA to present this information?
Well, we believe it is, but the FDA doesn't, and that's the key part.
And this particular foodsafety.com area is run by a lawyer, so their whole thing is, it's twofold. They're informing people plus their lawyers. So
yeah, they're trolling for cases.
So, thank God he is trolling for cases, because if he wasn't trolling for cases, I personally would not even be telling you about this, because I couldn't find it. And this, I think, is another example. On June 18th, Staphylococcus aureus was found inside a Chicago-area cake bakery and in the toppings used to finish the cakes. The USDA had sent out recently released on June 1 warning letters. Now, I've never heard about this. Now, these were it was sent out on the 1st. Now, people bought these cakes. They're gone out as these cakes. It's gone out to whole markets in 22 states, and it's called Ralph's Patisserie of Lincolnwood, Illinois. So it was implicated in an outbreak last December that sickened some 100 people. 100 people last December, and here again in June they have a warning letter with recalls on the 18th. Now, I had never heard of this. Have you heard of this, Simon?
No, absolutely not.
So this goes out to 22 different markets in 22 states. Now, I would think, that should be, front news page, or at least put it on page 10 right next to the French children who are sick. and then it goes on another recall we have is a warning of staff for fresh cheese. Another recall in Long Island. Here's fresh cheese. It's called Cuiso Fresco Fresh Cheese. And again, it's staph infection. So foodborne illnesses are something that needs to be looked at, and I guess that's it for the recalls for today.
Well, good, because I have been dying to approach a subject that's just near and dear to my heart, and that's food. We all love food. Well, Ashley went through a phase where she would pull out these healthy choice meals, and I would say to her, honey, you can't eat that frozen food. That stuff's awful for you. And she said, well, it's healthy choice. Well,
it's got a great name. Pre-packaged. It's really great name on it.
And doctors.
And there's a pretty picture on the front.
Right.
Oh, yeah,
pretty little picture.
Right, we'll get to that little picture, too. And, part of this is, why do I do it? Because I was raised in a restaurant. And when frozen dinners were invented, my mother was old school, and she was grossed out by them. And she could not say a nice thing about them. They were not permitted in my home. If you even thought of eating one, my mother would kill you. But then again, eating my mother's food, who would want to eat a frozen meal? So I never really had any. I've never really eaten them. I can't even think of a time in my life I've had one. And I would always look at the labels, because my mother used to say, look at the stuff in here. Well, so I would say that all the time with Ashley. Then we both became ill, and we all started looking closer. Well, we still had one left. We've tried to keep one of each of these radioactive foods in it.
For the show, right.
So the bottom line is healthy choice is not so healthy after all. I'm looking at a label on one of these that I believe was some type of hamburger, a frozen dinner, and it's healthy, all right. It's got about 120 ingredients. It mentions maltodextrin 4 or 5 times. And maltodextrin, by the way, is just another version of high fructose corn syrup. It's cooked up the same way in the lab. It's made of the same junk that you know, basically is used to make high fructose corn syrup. They could take a synthetic enzyme, throw it into the corn. In Europe, though, they make it from wheat. In the United States, they make it from corn. And the reason it slips by is because it has a density weight, and I won't get too technical, of over 20. And I don't want to try and explain that because guess what? I don't understand it that well either. But if it stays under this number, which is a DE number, whatever that means, the dextrose, I think it's called dextrose equivalent. So it's under 20, and if it's under 20, they don't have to list it as glucose or as sugar. So they keep the maltodextrin just one notch below the minimum sugar level so they can put it in. So it has it listed four times, which means you're getting sugar four times. Then you got your high fructose corn syrup and the rest of it, and then sugar, period, and you add it up, and it's just more sugar. So Ashley done some research about caramel color. Honey, isn't that also a form of sugar?
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, the FDA will say that caramel color is safe. It's, you know, it's seen on the right rim of your artificial soy sauce fill line is how it starts off. It's soluble food coloring. It's made carefully heat-treated with carbohydrates. I want to read this because this sounds so wonderful. Generally in the presence of acids, alkalis, salts, it's caramel. How do you make caramel, Manny?
Well,
start with that, and then I'm going to come back aware of it.
Caramel is very easy. What you do is you put sugar in a pan, and you lightly heat it so it starts turning brown, and you stir it, and usually use a touch of cream, a teaspoon or tablespoon, depending amount of sugar, and you stir it till it turns brown and turns into a liquid form, and you have caramel, which is basically brown sugar. Browned sugar, not brown sugar. But instead of doing that, so when you look at it, you go, oh, gee, caramel. They must have taken caramel, which now makes me ask the question, we need to look at caramel candies. I need to see whether those are made of corn also.
Oh, absolutely. And that's really the key hiding thing. What else corn is in this entire supposedly Salisbury steak healthy choice? The United States FDA decided they were going to classify the caramel and regulate the caramel color as a color additive and exempt from any certification. So if you keep this, right, exactly, if you keep it at a certain level of intake during that package and it's kept below this particular amount in the package, then they don't have to even list it, as Manny's saying. So caramel color, even though it's also a sweetener, is one more sugar that does not have to be listed. And now I understand why it's broken up many times throughout the package, because they keep relisting it, and therefore, as it's relisted, they don't have to put an amount on it. But the USDA says it's exempt. But caramel is toxic. It's a carcinogen. It leads to intestinal problems. It is banned in California.
And yet, I see it on this package. So I need some help from both of you. You know, I have trouble tying my shoes and chewing gum at the same time, so I can't read and count. So I'm going to read a little bit, and I want you to count every time I mention these sugar things. And I'm just looking at the label of Healthy Choice. Okay, it goes caramel color. Okay. Then the next one is hydrolyzed corn gluten. Then we have corn syrup. Then we have, where's another one here? Oh, we have corn syrup again. We have molasses. Then we have caramel color. And then we have sugar. And I'm only on line two. And then we get to maltodextrin. And maltodextrin again. Modified cornstarch again. Okay. Maltodextrin again. Sugar again, cornstarch again, wow, natural flavor, caramel color again, okay, modified food starch, that's high fructose corn syrup, and here we go, wait a minute, maybe it's all done, nope, high fructose corn syrup and corn syrup, it literally says high fructose corn syrup and corn syrup right next to each other, then followed by sugar, caramel color. Maltodextrin again, okay? And the ethyl alcohol is interesting because that's to keep the color of the food. And I think that's the last mention of, well, citric acid is also another substitute, MSG and sugar. So if you add those up, that's the number of different items and ingredients in this with sugar. What's the approximate number?
I don't know. I've eaten a lot of these. They're making me sick. 20.
20, approximately, you too, Simon? So this little package has approximately 20 different forms of sugar that are not included on the label that tells you how much sugar is in it.
There's nothing listed on this label. Sugar, wait. Sugar is 19 grams of sugar.
Well, it sounds more like it's 100 to 150 grams of sugar when you
46 grams of carbs, which is really hard to believe when you start adding up how much of all of that is corn and carbs.
Well, every one of the things we just listed are carbs that don't appear on the label.
And one of the big problems with caramel coloring, too, which I never thought of, was the food allergy. It's because it's a common allergen, such as can come from lactose. And since they don't say where they're making this coloring from, which is milk, as Manny said, you put in cream in it, dextrose, which is usually derived from corn, starch hydrolysates, which is from corn or wheat, malt syrup, generally derived from barley. So it doesn't say any of that. All it says is caramel color. Now, it sounds really fancy, but when you actually do the breakdown, it's pretty scary.
Well, honey, I could add something else. You picked up a Salisbury steak. Well, I've gone through this carefully. The closest ingredient in this that comes to steak is beef flavor.
Oh, no.
Right.
And wait, you know how much of these I've eaten,
wait a minute,
Simon?
There's some pork in here, too. So
I was eating a pork Salisbury steak when it looks like beef?
Yeah.
I mean, the picture's beautiful. It's a Salisbury steak with mushroom gravy. Oh, the rats would love this one. Caramel apple crisp, vegetable medley, seasoned red skin potatoes. Lots of GMO in this. But the fancy thing I would never look past was 9 grams of fat, 360 calories, 600 milligrams of sodium. That's a complete, you know, pretty little picture.
Uh-huh. Well, listen to some of these just blow me away. Worcestershire sauce powder. Okay. Worcestershire sauce powder? Then you get, I mean, how about gum arabic? Does anybody know what gum arabic is? And gelatin. Why are they putting gelatin into Salisbury steak? Then they contain sulfites. Well, as you know from our blogs on sodium sulfate and sodium sulfites, that's carcinogenic. It is a principal cause of cancer. And how about the next one, potato starch? Well, what's the difference between potato starch and corn starch and wheat starch? It's all starch. So as you look through this, it has so many different kinds of starches and corn and whatever. This is where Sanjay Gupta of CNN says we're all corn chips walking. And I counted 8 times corn syrup, corn starch were mentioned. So there's 8 different forms of corn in here. So maybe someone can explain to us what locust bean gum is. I mean, I have visions of locusts swimming around beans making gum, so I don't know what to call that one.
You know, what really bothers me is the whole sugar thing. What I'm hearing is that the manufacturers are splitting the sugar up in their ingredient list. So effectively, they don't have to list it.
That's exactly right.
Well, not only that, the purpose of this stuff is to addict you. At least half of the ingredients that we have cited here as chemically addicting is cocaine, and that's how people get addicted to products like Healthy Choice. And my other favorite one is, by the way, soy products are named a half a dozen times in here, like soy carbohydrate, textured soy protein. It goes on and on.
And I want to go back.
Let me finish this. At the bottom, this Salisbury steak meal, which has beans and a potato on it, says contains soy, wheat, milk, and egg. Now, when I look at a Salisbury steak dish with vegetables and potatoes, I don't think of soy, wheat, milk, or egg, do you?
No, I don't. And I'm going to have a terrible time from now on with this. So I already had problems with it, knowing the truth about it from that third symposium conference. But to now add on to that, that the USDA has taken a substance that smells and tastes like paint, which is a warning that this is toxic, don't ever eat it. You'd spit it out. If you could smell it, you could actually taste it, you would spit it out because that's your body protecting you from the toxin. Instead, they remove the linoleic acid, as we just discussed on Thursday, and then turn that into a substance that is now how many times, Manny? You think 20 times present in this little tiny dinner?
Right, and it gets even crazier to me because down the bottom I now found soybean oil. Okay, soybean oil in my Salisbury steak. Wonderful. So when you look at this meal and you think of a, and I see women do it all the time, pick up a package at a NAMI in a market and eat it, going through the market and pay for the empty package by the time they leave. And if they're really health conscious and they go home and have a healthy choice dinner, they're just shooting up soy all afternoon in its worst possible format.
And it is supposed, it's because it's a endocrine disruptor and it also causes hormonal thyroid problems. It is one of the causes that doctors, oncologists will warn women with breast cancer to not eat. Wait until you get breast cancer and then we'll tell you don't eat it. That to me is very disturbing, especially in this country where you have 1 out of 8 women have had breast cancer.
Let me ask a question. Soybean oil, it's not something I recall seeing on the supermarket shelf. Does it go by any brand names?
Vegetable oil. It's in there's 76, according to that USDA site, there's 76 percent of the vegetable oils are made from soy.
Yeah, so when you buy simple vegetable oil, chances are it's soy oil. And I got to tell a story that goes with this. I was talking to a lady in Whole Foods about a week or so ago when I made one of my rare trips to Whole Foods, and she was talking to this lady next to her, and she had a Starbucks a caramel macchiato in her hand, according to her, because she was telling her friend, oh, I'm in a hurry, so I grabbed a frozen dinner and had a caramel macchiato, and it dawned on to me, well, she looked like she was into healthy food. She probably had a healthy choice with this macchiato and was finishing the macchiato in the market. So I looked up the Starbucks macchiato, which I had in my food ingredients collection, and that has 60 ingredients. It comes with 4,000 calories, 576 grams of carbohydrates, 144 grams of fat, and it just, I mean, the cholesterol is 560. It's got 2,100 milligrams of sodium in it. So here you go have a nice little Starbucks coffee with your healthy choice. They got about 180 plus ingredients, and I think you said it had, what, 400 calories or something like that in it? So you're having a
360 calories.
So you're having a 4,300 calorie quick healthy meal with 180 ingredients and God knows how much sugar, probably about 200 grams of sugar in it, and it's just amazing when you look at this the stuff that's in the Starbucks coffee, you just want to throw up. And what we haven't included is that these are genetically modified vegetables in here. We whatever kind of beef, unless it was, you know, they just lined a cow up at the end of the
assembly line. And again, you say there's nothing that says beef on it. It's like,
it looks like it has a little pork with it. So I think they have a pig on one side of the assembly line and a pig on the other, so when the food goes by, they can say, well, it brushed by the pig and the pork. But, you know, that's about as close as
it gets. We dusted it. We dusted it with the pig and pork.
You can be assured this is factory farm meat sprayed with pesticides and up on, you know, shooting up growth hormones and all the other things we talk about. So how healthy is this meal? And for our listeners, by next week you can read our blog because I'm going to analyze this one with Ashley and we're going to work together and really lay out why healthy choice is not so wonderfully healthy.
And Manny, what is...
All right. I like coffee. I get up in the morning, I switch the machine on, and my coffee has two ingredients, water and coffee. All right? I don't need
anything. Well, how can you drink anything like that with only two ingredients?
It's not a healthy choice.
Yeah, what's the matter with you?
Ask the marketer. Pretty green box, come grab me, you know.
It's easy. I just hit the go button, and the machine makes it. And there's this black liquid, and it's hot, and I kind of like it.
Oh, I agree. You know, and it's funny because I only drink Hawaiian coffee for a variety of health reasons. I struggle with coffee.
So do I, and it's the pesticides. I hate to tell you that, Simon.
Yeah, and what Ashley, every once in a while, like she slipped and had some, when she was out at something and had some regular coffee, which we thought came from the polluted fields of Colombia, and basically it just made her sick as a dog. And that's one of the problems with all this. This stuff will just flat kill you.
And again, it's the pesticides, because you don't think about coffee bean pesticides. Wow.
So I've got to hit a topic that's just really irritating me. Is, you know, I sent Simon a photo today of the opened up Salisbury steak, healthy choice, with a nice little mixture of beans. It looks like a couple of carrots in there, and some kind of potatoes, and I think the other one is some type of applesauce. It's a fruit thing.
Right, that's an apple crisp. It's a caramel apple crisp. Now, that sounded really healthy to me, a caramel apple crisp. Does that sound good, Simon?
Yeah.
I looked at the photo, and I was going, man, I'm going to run out to the store and get me one of these.
Well, the problem is, you know, we talked about the new food plate, which I call the spam plate. When you look at the photo they issued, it looks like they're serving you spam, frozen mandarin, mandarin oranges and some kind of frozen beans. And I think you wrote a blog about what it looked like. Well, if you take a photo of this healthy choice, Salisbury steak, and you put it next to the spam plate, oops, the food plate, they look identical.
You know, maybe I should paint it when we're doing this blog. Maybe I'll paint this whole... You know, Simon, I think this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to paint the plate.
Yeah, the multicolors.
Right.
Simon, do you know that the United States government paid $2 million and is going to spend another $1 million over the next
few years? No, actually, I was wrong about that. It's currently $2 million, and that's supposed to be now part of the advertising. So I've read two different things on that, and that's
what
I'm thinking.
Well, no, I just read they've just appropriated more money to cover the additional cost.
Oh.
But they spent $2 million to design this little spam plate. Well, they could have just taken a photo from Healthy Choice and put it out there. The proportions are about the same. The plate looks very similar. I mean, you know, I could have done this one at home for $5. It was so simple.
All right. I'll tell you what. If the government had approached me, I'd have given them a really bang-up job for $2 million.
Oh my gosh. I would have. I would have even offered a discount. I would have. I could have done it for $1 million.
So, yeah. I mean,
we could all go down and vacation together.
and yet, I must tell you, the other one, too, is I took a look. I wanted to check, and I just had to know. Are we at a stage where this lady has gotten rid of her 12-year-old McDonald's hamburger? So I ran it up, and I checked the McDonald's hamburger, and... You know, it's still going. It hasn't changed. I understand it's hard enough now to throw against the wall and knock it over. But other than that, they look the same. Well, there's another lady who has a 4-year-old McDonald's cheeseburger. And if you see her video and you see this cheeseburger on the plate, if you take the bun off a McDonald's cheeseburger with the fries and it had some kind of dessert from McDonald's next to it, it looks just like the food plate, too. So does that mean it's okay to put a McDonald's throw away the top bun and you can now have a food plate that satisfies the government?
Absolutely.
Wow.
There is a rumor floating around that they're going to come out with food plate 2.0. it's designed for children. And essentially, it's the same thing, but there is a small side dish with a toy on it.
I hope you're joking.
Oh, and you know, that's very funny, actually. I'm just still thinking about it. Mrs. Obama standing there with the new toy for the Happy Meals. Oh, well. Anyway, that would insult her. I don't mean to insult her. On May 18th, the fast food...
I don't know why the Republicans have no trouble insulting
her. I know, but she's trying. She's really trying to do something, and I think that the point is well made when she's out there trying to make a change and not step on any toes because, you know, we might upset the lobbyists that aren't, you know, passing a lot of millions of dollars everywhere. And so she can't really say anything. Her hands are kind of tied. And I think it's it was exemplified in May 18th this year when the fast food industry is quietly defeating the Happy Meal bans. So, I mean, they're so powerful. They have a $170 billion industry, you know, and we're making fun of this $2 million on the food plate, but here's an industry with $170 billion that they actually could do something healthy for people and actually, because they know what's causing all this illness.
Of course they do.
But why would they? I mean, you know, that they're in the business to make money.
Oh, the deceit,
oh.
The hiding of the names, and you know when I started to say about this lady I was having lunch with this past week. She was on her way after lunch to go to see her oncologist, and we had talked about the soy, and I said, well, you know, it's in all the processed food. The look on her face, because her oncologist said, don't eat any soy. I said, yes, it's in, and I gave her the percentage of soy in her food and how much was probably in that restaurant food, and she was horrified. Here she is on her way to her oncologist, has already gone through chemo, has, you know, done the surgeries, and, you know, this is just the food industry, $170 billion, and shame on them.
Oh, okay. But the same is true about, let's pick MSG. I mean, it got a really bad rap in the, I think it was the 70s.
No, it was
you know, sudden, or the 60s. You know, it suddenly it became known as Chinese food syndrome. You know, and everyone went, "Oh, we're not going to eat MSG." How many packaged products have MSG in them?
Just about everyone I've ever seen.
And it's definitely in this healthy choice, but it doesn't say MSG.
You know,
yeah.
as the first chart in our diet book, Mandy's Diet and Enzyme Formula. No, it's our book. It's Not Your Fault. Has a chart of all the different names that are used to hide MSG. MSG is sort of like that shell game you always see in bad movies, where the guys are rolling around the shell like they used to do in the Depression, trying to take your money. Well, that's pretty much what the industry does with this. Is they keep rolling around that MSG into different products. Maltodextrin is a place to hide MSG, for example. So is simple things like citric acid. So why do they use MSG? Because it's as addicting as crack cocaine. There are a number of major books. The most interesting one is called Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills, that lists all the reasons why how this is not only addicting, but how it destroys your body. I mean, but nevertheless, I have people tell me all the time, oh, I don't eat MSG. I go, yeah, right.
Well, that's like my friend this week saying, I don't do soy. The doctor said, don't eat soy. I'm not eating it. She had the look on her face said it all. She was shocked. You know?
Yeah, it's really sad when you think about it, that basically we have a culture where the manufacturers in our food chain just basically figure out ways to lie to Americans every single day of the week to get them to buy their products.
Well, I think even getting back to the maltodextrin for just a second, when the FDA reviewed the studies in human beings and animals, they determined that sucralose, which is the maltodextrin, because sucralose is dextrose and maltodextrin, which is, you know, your Splenda. And they discovered that it, of course, was no carcinogenic, what caused no reproductive problems, cause no neurological risk of human beings, which we now know, oops, and sucralose is nothing like sugar. The market applies that sucralose, Splenda, it's all exactly like sugar, and it is not. It's in fact, This one was really interesting to me, the fact that Cercolas was actually discovered while trying to create a new insecticide. So, great, right, Manny?
Oh, yeah.
And the biggest side effect with it is the fact that it causes hypoglycemic. So it causes the dipping of the insulin and the blood sugar, and it's a serious side effect. That one of the multidextrin is used a lot with bodybuilders, and it will reduce the blood sugar level. So, of course, the blood sugar level being reduced is going to make people want to eat more and more and more and more. So it just causes a lot of problems within the body, and it definitely is a carcinogen.
Good news, huh? So basically, as we point out, we're all being fed a different kind of poop burger.
Yeah, definitely. And it's...
I'm really perturbed. Why doesn't the government do something?
They have no interest.
Because it's made from corn. So yeah. I think if you could trace this back, I wouldn't be surprised. I'm still looking around the research center in Peoria to see whether or not see what I can find, because I won't be surprised if it's not like high fructose corn syrup, which we now know is the brag at the U.S. Agricultural Research Center. And I wouldn't be surprised if the maltodextrin isn't part of it. And, Manny, you had a whole thing on this breakdown with some of the sugars, the Splenda.
Oh, the Splenda. Well, yeah, I don't have all of that in front of me yet. But basically, all of these things are essentially a form of glucose, except Splenda, which we discuss at length in the book, is simply an addictive form of sugar that your body cannot basically assimilate. It's very dangerous.
And it does, like your maltodextrin and these high fructose corn, they don't have a high nutritive value. They're just fill. And it's part of the, and it creates this craving, as Manny was saying, for junk food. And it has a whole mechanism within the body that just makes you want it more.
Yeah,
could we say that, you know, it's something like cocaine, you know, you try it, you want more.
Oh, there's no question. If I slip and eat something that has MSG in it, first of all, I notice right away because I feel it. And the next thing that I notice is, despite the fact that what I've eaten is disgusting to me, I'm craving it.
So you have MSG that's hidden, and you've got these maltodextrin and caramelized, you know, sugars and these various sugars that are synthetic sugars that are causing people to gain weight. And as you're saying, Manny, it just makes you, you get sick on it because of the way it affects the digestive system, and it really does affect the digestive system.
Oh, yeah.
And it makes people just, you can't stop eating it. I look at this box, this is really sick. I now know what's in it, and I had eaten so many of them, I actually still want one, Simon.
Yeah, in fact, let me throw a couple in that bug me. I keep stats on some of the foods and copy the label. And I want to go through one or two that really get me. It's typical spaghetti sauce with meat. And I took Del Monte's, which is made in California, one of the better ones you can do. That has 24 ingredients. I think I have 3 ingredients in my tomato sauce. Water, tomatoes, and celery is primarily what I make my marinara from. It has 24 ingredients or more. It comes with 720 milligrams of salt per serving, and 10 grams of sugar. I don't put salt and sugar in my tomato sauce, and neither does anyone else I know. Of the various 24 ingredients, 19 of them have MSG and 6 different sugars. And if you think that's bad, take simple Campbell's SpaghettiOs and meatballs, which people serve by the can to their children as a lunch. A normal serving is 2,400 milligrams of salt and 64 grams of sugar. So SpaghettiOs have 62 ingredients. 38 of those ingredients contain MSG and at least 4 different forms of sugar, where it has 11 different genetically modified foods in it. So if you think, oh, well, that's SpaghettiOs, let's take a simple Campbell's cream of chicken soup. It's 11 ounces, but it says the serving size is 8. And we all know everybody serves a whole can, right? So what do they do to confuse you? They say they take all their servings as 4 ounces. So they say there's 2.5 servings per can. 4 ounces of soup? I mean, you give a child soup for lunch, 4 ounces is hardly a sip out of the bottom of your Coca-Cola.
I was going to say, that's like 2 spoons.
Well, actually, it's a little more, but not enough to get anybody done. So they say on the can, 4 ounces, 870 milligrams of salt. But if you serve the full serving, it's 2,175 milligrams of salt per can. So under their thing, and of course we know the RDA by American Heart Association is 1,500, and even the food manufacturers admitted they're no more than 2,400. Most scientists say you shouldn't have any. So at the end of the day, this child has this can of chicken soup for lunch, and he's having almost the full daily dose of salt that they should have.
And chicken soup, usually when somebody's sick, let me give him chicken soup. So the first thing mom's going to give is pop that top of Campbell chicken soup to make him better, and you're giving him these toxic ingredients. I mean, this is toxic for a child.
Yeah, so at the end of the day, we're back to our message, and that is read the labels, look at them very closely. We've given you a lot of names of ingredients. Well, take a frozen dinner out of your refrigerator, sit in front of your computer, type in the name of each ingredient, and see what they come up with. You can take a simple vanilla definition from Wikipedia, or you can go to other sites who are less charitable and give you the truth.
But even the
Wikipedia description of these are really very upsetting. But when you get into some of the sites like Care2 and a number of other organic-based sites, they give you the real dirty secrets, like maltodextrin is made in a pot next to high-fructose corn syrup, uses the same enzyme it takes to make high-fructose corn syrup, and it has MSG in it. And I'm not certain that every bit of high-fructose corn syrup has MSG, but every bit of maltodextrin does. So if you take a look at these and go, you know, from product to product to product, they're alarming. And if you take a healthy choice and you put it next to that Hungry Man dinner that we've discussed so many times that has 180-plus ingredients in it, believe it or not, I guess healthy choice is a better choice than Hungry Man. But that's like, you know, being someone putting a blindfold on you saying, do you want to be shot by one person or three people? Which organ do you want to take out?
I really dislike the pair of you. You know, I used to really enjoy Hungry Man turkey dinners.
You know, listen, if we stopped you from eating Hungry Man turkey dinners, that means you're going to live at least 4 years longer. I mean, those could just kill you. So at the end of the day, this is our thought to everybody, and we're getting to the end of the show, and one thing we didn't get to is Ashley did a lot of cost comparisons between the cost of organic food versus regular food. And Simon, you bring that up all the time about how hard it is to get organic food where it is, and every person we ever talk to says, oh, my God, it's so expensive, I can't afford it. Well,
and now that I've seen what the stores are really doing, oh, my gosh, I agree with you.
So Ashley put on a wig, kind of a male crew cut, you know, a false mustache, a cigar in her mouth, and she went to Costco in a few markets and has acquired all sorts of interesting information. So tune in next week, and Ashley's going to analyze the differences between eating organic food bought from Costco, some high-end markets, some lower-end markets, and the wide range of costs and why organic food, if you shop carefully, should be no more expensive than organic food. And besides, anything that has 100 less ingredients has got to be cheaper. I mean, you know, and the same is true with hamburger. I think it's cheaper to buy organic hamburger than it is to buy one that's filled with ammonia and all these other things, unless, of course, you want to clean your floors and your sinks with the hamburger.
I do my windows all the time with my McDonald's now.
get that patty out and wipe, you know.
That's right.
It's like Karate Kid. Wipe right, wipe left. You know?
We have the best looking windows around.
So, Ashley, you have any thoughts for us before we all sign off?
Just that it sounds really hopeless sometimes when we're going through these. And when I've been talking to people, I realize that it really, we're throwing a lot at sometimes at people during the shows. But there's a lot of good hope, and there's a lot of answers, and each show will increase the amount of answers, will give you side effects of the bad things you don't want, how to replace them with good things, and turn your kitchen into a healthy, organic kitchen to keep yourself from getting cancer and all the other things.
So, Simon, before you
folks sign off, there is a question. Is it safe to eat the cookies?
See, they aren't on the list this week, but the Famous Amos were well, Famous Amos, I think we mentioned on Thursday, right?
I don't know.
Right.
The week before.
Well, let's do Tuesday cookies next week, because once you get going on cookies, that'll take about 10 minutes. And before we sign off, I really want to remind everybody to enjoy Father's Day and be kind to fathers. Simon and I are both fathers, and we know how unkind our children can be when they want to be mean and nasty. And I think everybody should be very good to their father this week. And remember, they're the schmucks who've been paying the bills all these years. So you better be good to them. Right, Simon?
Absolutely.
And my birthday's
coming
up.
I'm with you on this one, man.
And my birthday is on Monday.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See, I'm going to trump his Father's Day, right? Sorry, honey.
<Yeah. laughs>
I would rather celebrate a birthday than Father's Day.
I'd rather celebrate Father's Day.
You know, it's hard for fathers because, you know, when you were young too, Simon, I'm sure you got the cheesiest gifts from your children. You'd open this gift for Father's Day from your child, you'd look at this cheesy thing, and you'd look at your wife and you'd go, what did you do to me? So,
right.
You feel that way as a man?
Oh, yeah.
So there goes all the myths about Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers listening. And just remember, the greatest gift on Father's Day is to be able to whack your kid upside the head and get away with it.
Just kidding.
No, I'm not.
Okay. Happy Father's Day, Simon. Happy Father's Day, Manny. And happy Father's Day to all the daddies out there.
So, Simon, do you have anything to say after all that?
I think now would be a good time to wrap the program up.
With a ribbon. Goodbye, and we'll see you either for our Thursday show on the politics of food. Don't miss it. And next Saturday, we have a guest for Act Fact Thursday, Barbara Patterson, who runs FarmWars.com. So we're going to talk about Farm Wars. So bring your laser, put on your trooper's hat, get your Darth Vader outfit out, and we're going to do Food Wars, right?
Right, correct.
Or,
food revolution,
no, Farm,
right? Farm Wars, and cheese and organs. So it should be it's going to be a really interesting show on Thursday.
Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day.
This is Simon Barrett wishing all of our listeners a happy and healthy weekend. And Manny and Ashley and I will be back next Thursday with our more political program. Oh, God, can it get any more political? until Thursday, goodbye.